For the good of the day, for the good of the way, greetings. Can you hear me? Can I get some thumbs up if I am coming in loud and clear? Fabulous. Love it. Okay. Welcome, welcome. Postmasters Basic. Greeting, guys. This is Colin Rachel, hyphen Dara, Colin Prince, coming to you live. And we are in the evening time zone, Pacific time zone. Some of you guys are now in the Cali time zone, West Coast time zone as well. Looks like we've got Saturday morning, 10 a.m. somewhere in Australia, West Side, Perth, 8 o'clock over there on maybe Mountain time zone. It's nice to see it. Peeps tuning in from all over. Welcome back. Greetings. We got a 10 o'clocker. So that would be 2200 military time, space time, Australia noon. All right. And I am committed to getting these, at least a few of these, every so often at a different time, so that Europe can participate. I have been leaving them out. I feel bad about that. So I will do my best on that. Otherwise, Postmasters Basic, our Telegram channel, is live Friday nights. And we will be able to get that audio save through the RSS feed on the Podbean Postmasters portal, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and a few others. And we'll post the link thereafter. I don't even know if I posted the last week's yet. So if not, we'll have another one to listen to look forward to. Actually, yeah, no, I don't think I did. For the men of the sword, and the S was bracketed to be word for the men of the word. Sword, word. So how are you guys doing? Welcome back. Welcome. Welcome. Hanging out, getting ready for our big solar eclipse. I hope so. I hope it's a nice, smooth transition. This podcast, this show tonight, is for the citizens of the world and postmasters in the venue, in the quantum venue. And we're brought together here on this night because of the solutions on the table by the postmaster hyphen general, Colin Russell hyphen J Colin Gould. Say that 10 times fast. And I want to say thank you guys so much for listening in and chiming in. As always, my goal with this is to help us better comprehend the performances on the table from the Postmaster General and what he's done, and kind of break it down to prepare some of us for what we're going to be expecting, or the just kind of priming everybody for what the Postmaster venue is all about. And so this is our public call, and we are open to sharing concepts. Sometimes we open it up to listeners, and Postmaster citizens chime in and explain what's going on for them in their world. And sometimes they just their way of articulating what's the concepts that we are going over, they just sometimes just nail it. And we're just so grateful for everybody's contributions. So blessings if you're going to bed. Good night, Bruce, Postmaster Bruce. If you want to listen in on your in bed, I like to listen to podcasts while I'm going to sleep. Try not to let them play while you're asleep, though, because you never know. I woke up the other night and what's his name? David Wilcox was playing. And I was like, what the heck? How did that happen? Because on YouTube, I turned off my Play Next. And of course, you know, with all the shenanigans there, they somehow probably just kept it going or set it new so that I would then, once one podcast ended, it would show something else. And anyway, what's interesting is David Wilcox was the UFO alien dude. he was talking, really didn't have much to say because I started listening because I'd woken up and I was like, what the heck is this? Oh, okay, David's got something to say. So I was listening. And it was interesting because about three quarters of the way through, someone in the chat said, what are you going to talk about Russell J. Gould? And anyway, he was like, he said that and he read it and he was like, you know, everybody's got a piece of the puzzle. And then he kind of doubled down off of that and said, well, I don't know about that, you know? So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. He's reading QAnon posts. That's where he's at. So I guess that explains it right there. But hey, I mean, I think that those two bros should talk. And it's about time that people stop being afraid. Stop being afraid of being shunned for liking Chief. You know, like you got some of those truthers out there who can't like him because they might get shunned too. Well, you know what? There was this great little meme and it says, oh, just because you fit in doesn't mean you're in the right place. And it shows a picture of a drain with plates inside the drain. They were all stacked up and it was kind of funny because it's like none of us, not even in this venue, none of us should get too comfortable wherever we're at because it's part of the, it could be part of the worship program, you know, the worship gene that they supposedly planted in us way back when. And so we all have to be careful when we worship. You know, I don't worship anything. I know there is a God, a creator, if you will, and I connect and speak directly with that creator, source, whatever you want to call it, because that to me is a direct connection to something that made me. But if I start worshiping it, then, or anyone for that matter, I don't even worship Chief. I don't worship my parents. I personally don't operate in the field of worship. And I believe that Chief doesn't either. He doesn't worship others. And he is a big fan of himself. And I'm a big fan of myself. And you should be a big fan of yourself. And that's part of what I wanted to talk about on this call this evening. Are you a boss man? Do you think of yourself as a boss man or woman? But boss man's a cooler term. It rolls off the tongue better. Are you a boss man? Do you run around the world as a boss man? We know Chief is a boss man. He's a bad boss man. Bad to the bones. But are you guys a boss man? Because you never know who's going to show up at your door. And if someone shows up at your door, you better be able to show them that you're a boss man or a woman, female, whatever. Boss lady. How about that? That you're a boss lady or a boss man? Because, and we're going to get into this a little bit about what that means, but I'm going to tell you what I think it means. And then I want to hear what you guys think it means. But I'll tell you a story of a boss man that I saw last night. And I got to tell you, if this boss man was available to hire, I would have hired him on the spot. But this young kid was such a boss. And that's why you know, when you're at a restaurant and you ask for something and the waitress like, no, I can't, or you're on a customer service call and the customer service person is like, no. It's like it doesn't even exist in their consciousness to say, you know what, let me find out. Or I don't think I can help you, but I certainly know that if you asked for a manager, you might be able to get a better response from them, but I can't personally help you. But because sometimes they might train them to not ask for a manager. I get that. So maybe they have to find the words to say it, but it's upon each of us to be able to ask for the boss man or boss lady. Because if you're not getting what you need, then how are you going to win in this life? And I hear it all the time with friends in the venue and people in their lives. You know, oh, I can't get logged into the website. Well, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? How much do you want to get into that website? And first and foremost, did you do a password reset? Did you check your email? Did you check spam? Did you email the help desk? You know, the basics, right? But I'm just saying, what are you guys doing to be the boss man or boss lady in your life? Tonight, I had an experience where I was eating at a restaurant and it was just me. And I went into the room and I was just going to grab a quick taco and leave. But there was a table of like 20 people. And my waitress was like just starting to take each of their orders. And I said, oh boy, I'm not going to make it back in time for my call. So I asked the girl that was giving me my water. I said, hey, do you think you could just run in an order to the kitchen or something for me? I just want a fish taco. And she's like, no, I can't. You have to wait for your waitress. I was like, all right. So then this young kid, he's probably 13. It's kind of a family restaurant. He comes by and he says, are you good? Do you need anything? And I said, you know what? Can I talk to your manager? He's like, yeah, just a sec. So the boss man comes in. What do you think happened with the boss man? The boss man, I said, hey, look, I should have ordered to go. I get it. I'm sitting in the wrong room, but I am here now and I just want a fish taco. Do you think you can run that in real quick before the order of 20 people gets in? Because I don't have a lot of time. And he's like, yeah, sure. No problem. Does it come? Food comes back. I'm in and out. Boom. And he brought me the taco so quickly. And I said, that's why you're a boss man. And gave him a huge tip for, you know, $6 taco, $20 tip. That's why you're a boss man, bro. So what is it about the mindset and I would have given it to that girl too, had she hooked me up. But some people might say, oh, that's just rude. You need to wait until the order of 20 people eat. Okay, fine. That's how you want to operate your life. Do you think that Chief made it to where he did by saying that? I don't think so. So we all got to think about that. It reminds me of tone setters, right? Are you a tone setter? Chief sets the tone. Are you setting the tone? And are you doing it gracefully? Okay, because there's a way to do it in a way that just doesn't work and it'll backfire. And hey, you'll know it when that happens. You know, you send 20 emails to the help desk and you start mouthing off and you're going to get some pushback. You do that to a waitress or whatever. I get it. But we stay in the light, we stay positive, and we can still be the boss lady, boss man. So I want to tell you another story about a boss man, not just the one that was tonight, who was a manager, who's, you know, kind of that's what they do. But this kid was the only guy on the floor. Now, this time, long story short to the long, another restaurant last night, this kid had maybe 5 tables. And when we were sitting at the bar, I was like, He looked at me and said, "You're fine. You're good. You can eat here." And I was like, "Good. Could I just want to grab something quick?" And he said, "What can I get you?" I was like, "Are you sure you can serve me? Are you the only guy here? Are you the only waiter?" And he said, "Yeah, someone's supposed to show up. They're not here." And it was like 5 o'clock. So obviously it was like 5:07, so they were late or they weren't coming. And I was like, "Are you sure you can serve me? Because you've got already 5 tables." And I was like, "That's kind of a limit for a lot of people, is 5 tables." Anyways, like, yeah, they're leaving. And I was like, "Okay." So I'm sitting there at the bar, just ordering a quick meal and Indian food this time. And the guy literally gets like 3 new tables within like 15 minutes. So the first table, he lets sit down, family of four. The next table walks in 2 people. He's like, "Ah, can you wait? There's a little bit of a wait." Then 2 people behind hit them walk in, and he's like, "There's a little bit of a wait. Can you just wait?" So what happens is he starts. 15 minutes go by and they're like, "Can we just sit down?" And he seats them. He's like, "Yes, of course. Sit down, sit down." So he's got 2 tables that he's trying to get to, 2 new ones. And then I sw a few more tables walk in, but he says there's going to be a wait. And they're like, "But can we just sit at a table?" So now he's got another table of like four and another table of two, and his head's about to explode. And this kid was dancing around and twirling naan bread and tossing curries, and I mean he was so graceful and making and shaking cocktails and filling up waters, and I mean I couldn't believe it. I was just telling him, I was like, "Man, this is like watching the show." I was like, "This is like watching a gladiator. You're freaking amazing. You're doing it." I was like, he was like, he just didn't even know what to say. And finally, like right when the last few tables walked in, another girl walked in to help him, a waitress. But that guy got a really big tip because I was just like blown away. I was like, "Here you go, bro. I've never seen anything like this." In a world of poor performers, in a world of those lacking accountability, in a world of those lazy folks, in a world of mangled America, I call it mangled America, and all over the world, people are mangled and people are hurt. People are genuinely hurt. I know I've been through the ups and downs so many years in and out of my life, not able to lift something. So I get it. If someone's hurt, it's a serious deal. But for those that are able to do it, because listen, even if you don't have your health fully, you can still be a boss. You can still be a boss lady and a boss man. And you can still do whatever you can do, do that. But I gotta tell you, in a world of underperformers, I've been so impressed with everybody lately. And as you guys know from my last podcast last time, I've been very disappointed in people just underperforming and their insecurities and just the lameness. So this has been quite a turnaround, quite a surprise and a thrill to watch the boss man and the boss ladies. And no judgment, just no, not gotten caught up, no attitude, just freaking direct and clear transmissions. Just performing beautifully, gracefully. Just a real delight to watch, a real pleasure to watch. I don't think we get to see that sometimes, when someone says a stuck in the matrix. Yeah, but a stick in the mud, when you're watching some people. Oh, I went into this one place one time to get food, and I was trying to cheer the guy up, but I mean, a real stick in the mud. And was telling me I was confusing him with my order, that I walked out. I was like, hey, you forgot this. And he's like, sorry. And I was just like, wow. You know, it's like, if people, we get to choose the thickness of the mud. We get to choose the thickness of it around us. And if you get to choose to lift someone up, do you do it? Or do you help bring them down? Because I have a lot of people around me that I don't think they fully comprehend how to uplift. I really don't. I have some good friends around me and they're solid. But for the most part, you know, like a core group. But I would say, like, in the general vicinity of people outside of like my core now space, I don't think people are really like aware. What do you guys think? You think people out there are like, they lift you up when you go to the store? Are you the lifter upper? Because when I, yeah, when I go out and I notice people kind of sucking and just being like in the restaurant, I was sitting there going like this to this kid. I was expecting the whole room to get up and give a standing ovation to this kid. And it was like nobody even noticed or cared that this kid, this young kid, maybe in his 20s, I don't know, maybe 30, he was young. But I'm like, nobody freaking seemed to care that he was like an acrobat. Like, he was so graceful the way he was like pouring and spinning and twirling and like getting plates on and plates off. And I was just like, because I mean, for those of you that have waitered, it's tough. You forgot this, you got to get this. But he was just so on it and so on point. I mean, I was giving him a standing ovation. Yeah, Tereko, we be in the land of the dead. Hungry ghosts is what they are. And, you know, that's a tough place to be. So I ask, is that you? Are you that style of postmaster coming in hot? Because that kind of postmaster is contagious. It's the postmaster that has the chip on the shoulder, the postmaster that has, that doesn't believe what Chief did, who has to test it out. There's the postmaster who is going through shit. And I get that. I get that some are going through things. And I get that is stressful. And we need to be able to vent. And that's why I would like, at least if, you know, we have a veterans group. We have a veterans group for our vets, for the postmasters. You know, I would like them to at least be able to give each other moral support, moral aid. You know, you don't have to sit there and coach them on the mechanics that you don't know, because there's some difficult spots to be in. At least we can lift each other up. And the question is, do the vets know how? Because there's a lot of trauma. And so, you know, we have to be sensitive to them. However, vets, hear this. You too. You guys need to help each other, lift each other up. I know it's been hell here on this planet. Yeah. Yeah. Richie Rich says it's been through hell to get, been through hell and back to get here. Absolutely. For I concur. Yes, Peter, for the few beings that are with the diligence to work in the faith rather than the desperation. Yes, Joanna, I literally gave him a standing ovation, and I was ready to just shout out and tell the whole room to give this man a clap. But the thing is, I just didn't see anyone seem to care or know. And now that's kind of why it's sometimes fun to go eat by yourself, because you notice a lot more. And if you're with someone, there's a lot more judgment maybe or a lot more conversation. But still, I would have still given him a standing ovation. So, anywho, are you a boss man? Are you a boss lady? It's good to see some of you guys here with your photos on this call. Appreciate you guys listening in. Ananda, do you want to say a few words about the boss lady? Are you a boss lady? Or did you raise your hand? If you did, you can hear that.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Hi. All right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, awesome. Hi, everyone. Yes, I'm calling here from, I'm a postmaster in training. I have got the claim of the life, and I'm here in Canada. I have been proud to say I'm a boss lady working the organic food industry. So I've been doing this for 4 years, and the biggest challenge, I say, was creating a new team and giving them inspiration to be not only just a title of a grocery clerk, but to make them feel just as important as I am as a manager, but to let them know their role and to ensure that they are not just a number and that they're here to provide food for our communities. So every day has been one of the hardest things, is just going into do the role and ensure that everybody gets their groceries every week and trying to be ahead of all the crises that are happening with shipping containers and everything. And I can say today was a great example. I just got back from California from a trade show in Anaheim, and I had to trust my team, who knew that I just got back, and we were short a receiver, short two clerks, having new person come in. And they were like, no, we've got this. We're going to do this. And some people stayed an extra 2-3 hours today just to ensure that everybody was looked after. So it was really nice to know that my role I was doing my role, and I was able to be the inspiration for others to be able to do their role as well. So I didn't have to go in on my day off. So yeah, it's been pretty amazing to see the importance of our role, but also to provide for others.
There's your standing ovation, boss lady.
Thank you. I really appreciate all that, like what we do, but I'm in the midst of just driving right now. So I really do want to sign off, but I wanted to say that I'm always on your calls and listening the best I can when I'm available. And yeah, it's probably the best choice that I've made to do the claim of life and to learn the 7 steps. In once I have created this full team, I know that I'll have more time to do all the steps necessary, because I do see it as a light at the end of the tunnel.
Amazing. That's a great testimonial. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate you being brave to speak it forward. And we're just grateful that you have such a great team, because great boss ladies need great teams.
Mm-hmm. So thank you. And yeah, have a wonderful night, but I do need to sign out for the day. But yeah, okay. Thanks.
Autographing out, right? Well, that was nice. That was great to hear from another boss lady. So we appreciate that, for everybody to just kind of hear what the day-to-day grind looks like. And I will say, for those who have that day-to-day grind and have to show up day-to-day and keep doing it, I mean, you guys are bosses too. Because if you've got a 9-to-5-er, I mean, that takes a lot right there. So, you know, how are you guys handling the 9 to 5 is another story. Because if you're, you know, whenever I had a, I never had a corporate job, but I always had like a nonprofit job, and it could get pretty like camaraderie. So commiserative, I would say. So if you, you know, commiserate with others and start bitching, then that is where the problems start. So start and stop, because you're around other people, you commiserate, and then, you know, it doesn't end well. So another thing I wanted, if there's anyone else who wants to talk about their status as a boss man or boss lady, we'll take one or two more if we have time for that. If anyone else wants to come on, raise your hand. I'm happy to have you guys give your own testimony for yourself. I mean, go for it. And I also want to talk a little bit about a meme that I have here in the chat. So if we don't have any other testimonies right now, that's fine. If so, raise your hand and I'll call on you. I want to go through the chat here to find it. I want to go through this meme. It is a fiction meme, but it's got a little bit of the grammar in it with the syntaxing. Here we go. Let me send it again. Okay. Whoops. Esther says, for the focus on the love is with my boss lady performance by this postmaster, Esther. That's how we do. All right. So, moving on. Jeremiah says, I never really cared for being called a boss leader. Yeah, that's what I always am. Yes, Jeremiah. I think with a voice like yours, you've got to be a boss. We love your voice. All right. So, you should have a radio show. You've got a face for radio, Jeremiah. All right, it's a joke. So, if we take a look at this meme is, I thought it was interesting. I came across this. You know, it's always interesting when you see the fiction influencers, and they're literally seeing the fraud before their eyes, but still can't figure out the word games and still can't figure out that we're in a word war. And it's, like I said before, many times it's very frustrating, because it's like, I don't know for you guys, did it take that much convincing? I mean, it didn't for me. I could feel the truth. And I don't know. It was like the dots connected. And that's why the meme for tonight was the connection of the dots. Because when the dots connect, that's when the fun starts. That's when the party starts. That's when we're supposed to do more for ourselves. Study more. Dig a little deeper. Not stop and make excuses. But then again, there's 60 people on this call, and we're probably the angels. Hey, if that were true, and that is true, the world is in a safer space. You know, we're sitting here trying to learn about how to make everything better. So, not saying yes to the facts, trying to learn how to convey the facts. I mean, 59 boss men and women on the call tonight, as far as I'm concerned. Tereko says it's a lonely out in the deep waters. Yeah, people stay in the shallow end. So if we take a look at the root cause or the parse of things, through this meme, we can start to see the encryption inside words. So when we break them down and when we look for our synonyms, we can start to comprehend the volition. So here we can see it starts with taxation and it says the levying of the tax, levying of tax. So then it takes us to levy. What does levy mean? Levy means bringing upon a tax, fee, or fine. It says impose. So we just say, so let's just use that word, imposing a tax, a fee, or a fine. A levy is someone who's like imposing something on us. And so let's break down impose. And we're not gonna get into prefixes and suffixes here because I want to just convey the concept. But impose also when it if we break that down, to I'm a poser. I'm a pose. Okay. Impose means to force. Force something unwelcome or unfamiliar to be accepted or put in place. Impose, you're positioning something, forcing it. And what does force mean? A coercion, compulsion, usually with use of threat or violence. And so look at how beautiful. If we just do a little bit of searching down the rabbit hole, we get to the root cause. And the root cause is ultimately that liberated, free people aren't forced. They act of their own will and volition, gladly so. They don't need to be forced to do something. They don't need the threat of violence. And so that's why we have these types of calls, because we want to get to what a sovereign is so that when you're ready and when it comes time, you can stand in the power of yourself, your sovereign self. And you'll know it and you won't be afraid of it or anyone telling you that you're not it. Not because I'm saying that mechanics and postmaster mechanics and timelines and all the good stuff that we learn inside the venue aren't important, because they are. They're very important. They're critical. However, more so, if not equally so, is our ability to stand in our own power and be that boss man and be that boss lady. So how's that for brass tacks? That's funny. Getting down to brass tacks. Minus the force, minus the taxation. How about? All right. Yeah, Mary says, parse works to break the occulted hidden history of language. And we have been, the language is obscured. The language is so, it's so coded. Language is so convoluted. It is so convoluted, isn't it, though? And I wanted to share a little audio here of Tucker Carlson on one of his little podcasts. Not a long one, just a quick short stint of him and a guest that he has on there. And I wanted to, hey, look, if it was a publicity stunt, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But I feel like it was some movement. Okay. I feel like it was a movement in the word direction, a movement in the right direction. Because if we are in a grammar war, grammar games, then the best thing that we can do is communicate and try to talk it out. Right? Right? I mean, at the least, if you're just going to give up and go home because you don't like something, then, I mean, I get it. Sometimes you got to know when to fold them. Yes, Mary, a Chief and Tucker Carlson interview would be great. It'll happen. It'll happen. It's coming. But this is what we must all do within the truther community. You know, we have these truthers that are just so angry, so mad. And I get it. It's a reflection time, right? Maybe it's got to be the right timing for Chief and for them. Everybody's got to come to the same conclusions themselves that they want to communicate. Since it is just an oral conversation and we can't quantify the spoken word, that would be a good place for it to happen, in my view. But I do want to play the audio. Let me find it here. Is Tucker on the spectrum? I don't know. Is he? Aren't we all, though? Just aren't we all? Okay. Let's see here. I do want to pass this forward here. You want to see a boss B. Here's a boss B-E-E. You see this where the B is upside down in some liquid and the other ones are just standing there drinking and tossing off. And the little ones, the one B is about to drown and he can't get up. And his boss B comes in and grabs it and pulls it out. How's that for a boss bee? Some bees are just boss. Can I say? All right. Let's see here. Yeah, I don't know, Steven. I don't know if Tucker's real or not. Never met him, so I can't say. Some people say he's just CGI, so who knows? Who knows? All right. Where is it? I just had it. Okay. Here it is. All right. One sec. Stand by.
And I think the question is, like, what if we learn from this? You first.
I'm still trying to figure it out. And I knew it was important to reach out when you were going through your exit, let's call it, because I knew the pain of it and I knew the challenge of it. And everything is different, but I do believe that one of the lessons I've learned is you have to think about how other people are being affected by situations, especially once you have pain in your own life. And it doesn't matter what you agree with, what you like, what you don't like. It's all gotten so far removed from humanity that the idea that I don't like that Tucker Carlson takes a bite out of my ass on his show.
He's got good reason not to like that. I think that would be fair.
But that means that this is not somebody who you should care about as a human being. And I feel like our culture isn't working anymore, that everybody retreats with their own. And as a result, everybody is against one another for the same kinds of reasons.
And I think the question is, like, what if we learn from this? You first.
I'm still trying to figure it out. And I knew it was important to reach out when you were going through your exit, let's call it. Because I knew the pain of it and I knew the challenge of it. And everything is different, but I do believe that one of the lessons I've learned is you have to think about how other people are being affected by situations, especially once you have pain in your own life. And it doesn't matter what you agree with, what you like, what you don't like. It's all gotten so far that the idea that I don't like Tucker Carlson takes a bite out of my ass on his show.
I think it's got good reason not to like that would be fair.
But that means that this is not somebody who you should care about as a human being. And I feel like our culture isn't working anymore, that everybody retreats with their own. And as a result, everybody is against one another for the same kinds of reasons. And it's not working. And if it's not working, then why aren't we trying something different? Why wouldn't I reach out to somebody who has a family, who has a following, and is dealing with a hard time to see if I can help, see what's going on in their life, and what they're about? And I was concerned about calling you at first because I thought you might be thinking that this is like a fight phone call or something. You know what I mean? Or be like, why are you calling me? What do you want to gloat or something? You know, I didn't want to make anything worse. But there's tremendous power in conversation.
Yes.
We only know what we're told about people and the snippets that people want us to see and the context. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, you're one benefit of context away from never of saying anything that I don't think you should say. But what is lost by doing this? What is lost by this? How can this not be helpful? To sit across from somebody and talk to them instead of about them.
So, I, of course, I couldn't agree with you more, which is why we're here. And I think both of us have tried to talk directly to people that we disagree with legitimately on some things, but because it's a really useful and important experience. So, why does it happen? It does make you wonder, maybe there are forces trying to prevent those conversations that work.
Playing the game, you can, especially with the platform that you have, you wind up essentially picking sides, and you wind up having agendas either that present themselves to you or are foisted upon you. But either way, you wind up in the same place. And in doing that, it becomes habit. It's what people are celebrating around you. It's what you see around you. People start to come after you. Now you have a natural enemy. These people, I'm resistant to them because they're attacking what I'm saying. And they're getting it wrong, or they're getting it right, and I still don't like it. That's the culture, and that's what the media enforces. We are not supposed to be doing this. I'm doing something bad right now. Not just wrong. This is bad. I'm morally giving a platform. That's the new word for censoring, right? I'm giving Tucker Carlson a platform. I'm talking to him about who he is, what he's about, why he does what he does, why he's bad. That's the end of the analysis. But look where it's gotten us. Nobody talks to each other anymore. You've got politicians resigning because they say, yeah, turns out nobody really wants us to do anything here but fight. I've kind of had enough. I'm going to go.
All right. Sorry for the low volume. I will post it here. Any guesses on who that was? Any guesses on who that was? Biden, Alex Jones, not Biden, Tucker Carlson, and Cuomo. Yeah, it was Cuomo. You guys can go back and listen to it again. And there you go. There's the link. Yeah. So, anyway, I mean, who knows? But, you know, he's got some good points. And whether or not it's made up, I still concur on the conversation. And let me just, if for those of you that couldn't hear it, you basically had, you guys type in some of your takeaways so I can read them, what you guys take away from that. But basically, the Cuomo guy, the New Yorker, he basically talks about, yeah, he might have made some mistakes, and he might have heard that Tucker spoke poorly of him, but he called Tucker up and asked to have a conversation with him. And so, yeah, I mean, when the takeaway, you guys, stop with the negativity. When the conversation is positive in your heart, it's good no matter what. So you can say fiction's going to kill fiction. I get it. But you have to have some grace and space for the volution of the comprehensions of the people who are not there yet. So we can't just judge them. And I think this is something that, well, it was kind of funny because we say you can't judge them like that just based on this or that. There are things that we can judge them on. I know Alex Jones gets a lot of heat because he gets heat from us because all the people that watch Alex support Trump because of the warp speed. We're like, how can you just let that go? And Alex makes so many concessions for Trump. And of course, who knows what all that's tied up in, what, you know, fakery and fictions are tied up in all that. I'm not going to speculate, but I just saw Alex double down. Well, not double down, I should say. I just saw Alex freak out because, again, Trump posted about the vaccines and how great they were. And so at some point, we have to say, if something's not working, are you going to love them or leave them? Are you going to work through it? And so I don't know Trump. I don't know him and his clones. I don't know. So I can't. It's hard for me to say. But I sure as hell am not voting for a fake system. Okay. So we don't have to, like, be mad at the people, but just not support their systems because we want correctness. And that's not to say that if somebody has done an atrocity that we can't make them want to make them pay in their way, you know, karmically or truly for their crimes. And there are people who will deal with that, but it's not just black and white, cut and dry living where we're at. And I know last week we talked about all right, let me go back to what the conversation was all about on it, so I don't have to use my brain cells. Try to think of the title that I gave it. Oh yeah, the sword. For the men of the sword, for the men of the word. I'll forward that link to the audios right by there. You know, we talked about that. What do you do to create accountability? What do you do if someone lies to you? What do you do if somebody steals from you? How do we handle this? How do we make our friends and family accountable in a loving way? Because some of those people we do want to keep. Some of them we don't. Some of them we want to keep at a distance, you know. But we better get pretty good at creating accountability, not only with ourselves, but with others in our now space. I mean, how do we just expect it to happen? I don't think it can. I don't think it can just happen. I think we actually have to be available and be there for it to happen. In other words, like a quantum tanglement. Like, we actually have to witness it. We have to be there for it. We can't just expect it to happen and wake up one day and it's there. Like, we actually have to go through the birthing pains of it ourselves. And as we come into that consciousness ourselves, it too shall come. It too shall grow. It too shall happen. Just like the tree makes a sound in the forest when you witness it, just like the particles are there when you see them, view them. So anyway, I did post that from Cuomo and Tucker having a chummy chum conversation about La Vida, talking, you know, bros. If someone's talking smack about you or does something, let them, you know, it's okay to let them know how that made you feel. You know, if someone does something that's not okay, it's okay to not, for that to not be okay for you. I had a dream last night about a friend who just kind of vanished out of my life. And I had a dream about it. And I was thinking, like, why would they do that? It's so hard to find good friends. Or why did I let it vanish? You know, because I thought, oh, that's, you know, they don't want to put effort in. And I don't always want to be the one to put the effort in. And say, you know, but did I tell them that? I don't know. Maybe I did once, but how was I willing to fight for it? You know, that's on me too. So, anywho, preaching to the choir. Well, we are at an hour and making good headway here. These are the topics I wanted to give to you on this night. If you're just tuning in, this will be an audio save. We will have this in the audio archive for the Postmaster's Basic, open to the public and available for the citizens of the planet, as well as the postmasters. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in. I know the blockbuster Dune 2 is coming out, for those of you Dune fans. So maybe go check out Dune 2 this weekend. Go get out in nature. Stay grounded. Ground down. Get into that nature. You know, oh, I did want to mention this. Little side note here to wrap up. I stopped wearing sunscreen. And I feel like sunscreen is a real scam. And you may say to me, okay, so you didn't know this? Some of you guys probably, because I know you guys, you'd stop wearing it long, long ago, or you never believed in it, or you never wore it anyway. However, I will say that being able to take in the sun in this new way, because have you guys seen the sun lately? I think I've said this before too. I've heard that the sun is a little bit bigger, and I've seen it, and it looks a little bit bigger. Like, this is our new sun. Their new Earth sun is bigger, but like the old sun wasn't as big as this new sun. So I don't know, when you can catch it, we're in a sunset or something, just notice if it's bigger for you, or post them in here, post some pictures, because I've noticed. But anyway, the new sun, and I've talked about getting your downloads from the sun, from what the influencers out there are saying, getting in those digital, sun downloads. I don't say digital, but sun data, if you will. Taking that in, and, you know, obviously a lot of different things happen simultaneously, so we can't pinpoint one thing necessarily with health. But I will say, though, the sun kisses on my face from the sun are so much better. Like, this sun-kissed face that I have, and I know if you live in a kind of a cloudy, rainy place, it's going to be a little bit harder. But I've taking in the sun, and anytime that you, if you have to go check out the sun in the morning or the night, do it, but try to get that vitamin D and consider not wearing that sunscreen, because it's blocking your ability to absorb and take in that sun. And I was using organic, like, seaweed sunscreens with like maybe had some zinc or titanium oxide or whatever that stuff is called, zinc oxide in there. But again, I'm way happier without it. So you guys consider that. I don't want to tell anybody to like go get sunburnt or something, but getting your daily dose of that vitamin D is very, very important. And yeah, John, it would be interesting to see what people looked like before sunscreen. So yes, Crystal, it is toxic. I believe that now. And I'm, like I said, I only really ever used the organic stuff you buy at like health food stores. But again, I don't even think that's good. And I noticed the difference in my face and the coloration. And it looks a lot more natural and less pale. And so when you're going outside, the other thing I started doing that I heard to do is to start mimicking the birds and other plant animals in your area. Some of you guys already know this too, but the birds, when they chirp back at them, some will run off, fly off rather, I've noticed, but some will actually communicate with you. And hopefully, granted, we don't know what they're saying because I'm not trying to be doing like mating calls with the birds, but I think it's kind of cool to talk to the birds, talk to the animals in your space, kind of Anastasia style, go spit in your garden, what have you, start planting some stuff inside if you have a late spring here, and get it going, get your prepping going for those items that you might grow, that you might find as an asset to trade with your neighbors if and when shit hits the fan. And also if just to be, it's a nice gift for people to give them some fruit or vegetables or what have you, or go hit a farmer's market and do some trades. But anyway, those are just fun things for everybody to just memory reminders. Hey, yeah. Cheers to the chief. Thanks. For our postmaster hyphen general, Russell hyphen J Colin Gould, we're super grateful for him being the key point for all of us coming here and staying connected. So, all right, guys. Also, you can check out fortheclaimofthelife.com if you're interested in getting the Claim of the Life, learn about it there. I forget to say that on my podcast. But also, we have a new LinkedIn the media team is working on. So you guys, a lot of you guys have LinkedIn, so we can connect there. You know, they're all crap in my opinion, but we got to do what we got to do for socializing these days. So we'll see you on board there. And we'll post the links in the Telegram chat for Chief. Okay, guys. Thank you. Yeah, key points and keep connecting the dots. Autographing out.